The following program is rated TV-MA-LSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, violence, and nudity. It is intended only for mature audiences.
I really fucking hate that, like, I can't hear it.
Hi, Scout.
Hi, babe.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good. I found my groove here in small town outside of Philly. I found my yoga studio. I went last night. I made friends with all these mommies. And they kicked my fucking ass, man.
Yeah.
In this workout. And then they have a cold plunge.
Oh.
And a sauna. So I just went in with all these moms and cold plunged and did a sauna. And I woke up today. And I have to admit, like, last night I felt very, like, alert. And I felt awake. I felt like I could go fucking dance. And now today I feel, like, fucked.
Oh, God, really?
Dude, I don't, like, feel, like, that great.
Were there any MILFs there?
Oh yeah. 100%. 100%. I literally made friends with these moms so much that, like, Ubers and Lyfts are crazy out here, and they, like, fluctuate from, like, $100 and then $30, $9, $100, $30, $9, you know, because it's, like, in the middle of nowhere. The mom was like, I'll pick you up for your next class. So she's gonna pick me up today and bring in the code.
Oh, I'm jealous you're making mom friends.
Yeah, like, who am I? Who am I? They have, like, kid classes and stuff like that. So it's great. How are you doing? How'd your organizing go? I know I haven't asked in a while.
Oh, my organizing's never ending story. I should make a movie about it. Danielle's never ending story equals organizing everything in her house over and over and fucking over again. We missed you. We missed you at the Terror Con, though. And we've been missing you and missing you and missing you.
I know, man. It's so fucking weird. And now I'm going to miss the reunion of Halloween. And I'm so bummed. I was talking to Sean last night and I was like, dude, it wasn't supposed to be like this. And because of the strike, it got pushed. And now they finally got their waiver. And now I'm going, and it's not somewhere I can, like, fly in for one day and then fly
out.
Wait,
you can't? You mean you can't fly back from Thailand just for the Halloween 45th? It's not that important. You really have no loyalty to the horror community, Scout.
Dude, but you have no idea how, like, I literally was, like, texting my producer. I was like, dude, like, anything, like, I'll take a red eye. I'll hop right into filming the next day. Like, I just have to do it. And he's like, Scout, there's fight training. Like, you need to do fight training. I was like, fuck. I was like, okay. But it's a movie that I've wanted to do for so long, and it's a character I've wanted to play. So it's not something, trust me, if it was, like, you know, another genre or something that I've, like, kind of played over and over, I would have fucking said no, and I would have gone to the reunion.
I think that's why this episode and our guest today is the perfect person to have on, since you're not going to be with us. And this episode is going to air on the first Tuesday of October, which will be the 3rd.
Yes. Well, I'm hoping we might push this episode a little bit to help with this promotion that this guy has.
Okay.
I don't know if this, like... I picked this up the other day for him before I knew that he wanted to come on. I picked this up.
Why don't you do the intro for us, Gal? Because it's been a year since we've had him on.
Holy shit. Badass motherfucker. The most gentle giant you'll ever meet. Pretty much my second dad, even though he hates that. And he's going to marry me. Tyler Main.
Yay!
Yay!
Wow, what an introduction.
You're never going to get one of those like that again, huh?
So good. How are you doing?
I am doing great, guys. It's good to be on. I got to admit, I was a little nervous before coming on again.
You're always so nervous.
Well, because I know the topics you guys touch on, but I've got a serious one to talk about today, a real scary one.
I know, which is kind of great, because the last, like, three episodes, we have been pretty serious.
Yeah.
Right, Danielle? Like, we've been talking about some pretty intense topics, but I mean, I think those are important too.
Yeah.
Let's not waste any time. What is it that you want to talk about and promote here?
Well, through my production company, we've got a graphic novel that's coming up. Imagine Sons of Anarchy meets True Detective Season 1, the human trafficking story. So I've been teaming up with human trafficking awareness organizations to help put an end to human trafficking, deliverfund.org, traffickinginamericataskforce.org, to just help raise the awareness that it is a very serious topic. And through the graphic novel, we're going to help put that story out. So, and we are doing a Kickstarter that is launching October 17th. And we would appreciate the support, because if we do really good with this, then we're going to try and turn it into a television series.
Fuck yeah. So how did this all come about, Tyler?
Yeah, my buddy John Saunders wrote the book Last Spartan. He gave it to me years ago to read to see if it was something I was interested in. And it deals with the topic of trafficking. He is one of our main investors in our last two pictures we did, Compound Fracture and Penance Lane, the one that you were in. And we were planning on doing this beforehand, but we wanted to have it evolve a bit. And that's why we came up with The Last Spartan Red Tape, and to expand the story and make it more modernized and take it to a bigger, broader audience.
Now, what was it about this that sort of like piqued your interest? Because honestly, with the subject matter that intense, mostly people would just kind of back away and shy away from that. What made you guys like dive deeper?
Well, I mean, like, you know, I have kids and we got that right around that time. And I mean, every time you send your kid out the door, you're like, hey, be safe, take care, call me if you need anything, you know? And as that was evolving, when we were doing the research for this book, we have Christopher Priest, who wrote it, who wrote the Black Panther, Punisher, Vampirella, tons of great comic books, Black Adam. You know, we were doing research with Renee, I, and Christopher, and he was like, there's no way that this could happen. And we would pull up articles of people being abducted and things happening. And he was like, this is just horrific, you know? So we wanted to try and pile it all into a book that was able to get the story across, tell people to look out for themselves, but be safe.
Yeah.
What are some of the, I mean, you're like Scott was saying, you're just like a giant, gentle teddy bear with kids. So how has this research affected your sort of sleeping at night? Has it, cause then we all know about human trafficking to a certain extent, but just very, I'm sure we barely scratched the surface
about it.
I mean, I have no idea like how they get you, what you have to do. Are you chained up? Is there drugs always? Like, who's taking the money? Like, how do you not leave? Like all that stuff that sort of like should be common sense. I think we all need to be educated on how this happens.
There are so many different ways that they do it. You know, a lot of times it's family trafficking family. Other times it's people abducting people and then threatening their families. Sometimes drugging them, coercing them into things that they, you know, and shaming them into doing this for their lifestyle, you know?
Like they're like pimps. I mean, is that sort of?
Yeah, sort of. You know, you got your pimps. You got, I mean, for various different reasons. You know, 80% of trafficking in America is done by Americans. People think it's coming across the border and it's a problem like that. It's not. It's families doing it to family members. It's people taking people, and through my talking and spreading the word at these conventions, I was talking with one guy, and he said his niece was in a bar and they drugged her drink.
Oh, fuck me.
Two guys were trying to take her out the back door. Luckily, a bouncer realized it and went after them and beat the shit out of the one guy, and they caught him. The other guy got away, but he saved the girl. And with the police tracking their what they were doing, they found three women chained in a hotel getting ready to be trafficked. So if they would have got this girl, they would have had four that they would have taken and trafficked.
So where do they take them to?
They can be like a block away, a mile away, a lot of the times they don't go too far.
Too far. Yeah, I heard.
And are they just like chained up and people are coming in to have sex with them for money? I mean, is that a majority of what it is?
Well, that was the, that's the beginning portion, you know, when they'll brainwash them and then they'll manipulate them into doing these things, you know, and it's a sad, sad thing, you know?
What is it about, because sex trafficking, I mean, I'd never heard about that when I was really, really young. And now it's a topic that I hear about all the time. Like, it's happening way more than it used to. I'm like, why?
I mean, look,
these...
there's stickers right on the inside of bathroom stalls with,
like,
phone numbers.
Why are these people coming out from the shadows now and so intensely? Like, what is it? Like, are they just not afraid anymore? Like, people just not afraid because they're not coming? People are not coming after them anymore.
Look, trafficking has been going on since the beginning of time. You know, you have sex trafficking, you have labor trafficking, you know, you have all kinds of trafficking going on. And it's more prevalent now than it ever because of the internet, too. A lot of the times people are coercing kids online and, you know, texting them, hey, meet me here, you know, and I'm a 13-year-old boy. I want to meet with you. And then they end up being 20, 30 years old and the kid's gone.
I think I shared this story a few episodes ago. I think that I was targeted for sex trafficking when I was young. I was talking to a gentleman that was posing as a kid my age online. I'd never seen a picture of him. I'd never, like, and his so-called mother also had an account and was encouraging our relationship so intensely that I'm like, now looking back at it, I'm like, huh, what was that? But I almost met up with this kid. He was going to take a bus to my grandma's house. And I felt something in my gut that I was like, you know what? I'm not going to give him my grandma's address, but I'll meet him at the park at like 2 a.m. in the morning. I'll walk to this park and I'll meet this kid. And there was something, I was like this close to opening up the door and going and meeting this kid. And then once I didn't go, he stopped talking to me.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I mean, it's big, big, big that way. And you never know what happened. It might have been something, you know, he could have been wanting to traffic you. He could have been wanting a relationship with you. You never know.
Yeah.
But you have to be well aware of all the situations that are going on around you, especially as a young person. Luckily, you had your head screwed on. And that's the one thing, too, that we got to tell parents. Well, I know very little bit. Luckily, it was screwed on just enough.
Just enough.
Situation like that. You know, parents just have to be aware. And that's why I'm teaming up with deliverfund.org, too, because they have apps that you can get to see who people are talking to and track them and see if they have a past history of doing these sick deeds, so that you can help put an end to that situation.
That was going to be my next question, because I'm watching the series. Have You Seen Me? I think it's on Netflix or Paramount Plus. But it's all these missing cases, like these missing, and a lot of the missing girls, they are realizing that their daughters have been sex trafficked. But, and that's what's so strange to me. Like, there's the internet now and with kids, I don't even understand whenever I upgrade my phone, like what kids are doing nowadays. I can't imagine parents trying to control who they're talking to, what they're doing, even video games. Like these kids are talking to these random people on these video games app. But so that's really wonderful to hear that there's like things that you can download onto your kid's phone, which I feel like every parent should, no matter what age they are, I feel like should be able to, you know. The world is a scary place and it's only getting scarier.
Yeah. And, well, you know, with the internet and stuff like that, like back when I grew up, you had a phone sticking on the wall and you call and say, hey, let's, you know, go play in the, go play out in the yard. But now everybody spends most of their time, you know, on these things.
Yeah.
And it's sad if a lot of times the parents nowadays aren't paying attention to their kids because they've got so many situations in their lives that they're dealing with too, you know? So you just got to take a step back, make sure your kids are safe, take care of them. And, you know, even adults, like I said, the one with the girl that was just about taken out of a club. It happens.
I know I've heard and I've said this a couple of times, and I'm only saying this to any women out there listening. There's just like new things that I keep on hearing. Like if there is something in front of your tire that wasn't there before when you went into the grocery store or the concert or where the bookstore, whatever, like don't go pick it up. I've heard of like solution being placed on like a napkin in your driver's doorknob, like, or on your windshield. Like, do not pick up any of that shit. Like,
yes. It's a distraction to try and you know, slow you down from getting into that vehicle so that they can have a chance to take you.
And get off of your phone. Like, stop walking across the fucking parking lot of the mall on your phone, not present and looking around you. You're such an easy target.
I'm so fucking self-aware of my surroundings. And maybe it's because I do all these goddamn movies. I'm like, I am watching everything.
You're also traveling to like places by yourself in the middle of nowhere, and you have to wander around. Like, you're about to get in a car with a mom. Okay, she may be a MILF, but like, I mean, what if she decides to take you and kill you this afternoon?
Daddy,
miss, be careful. But you know, like, is your location always shared on your phone with somebody? Yes.
Okay, me too. I share my location with Tom. Yeah,
yeah.
Even Ubers and Lyft. Yeah. I'm like, this is what I'm doing. Even if it's like 2 minutes down the block.
Thank God.
I'm like, this is where I am. That's
crazy. You have to be safe. You have to be aware of your surroundings and take care of yourself like that stuff. It's like, because if you know, the way that I look at it, like, if you act like a victim, you are going to be a victim.
Yeah.
So you have to be aware of your surroundings and take care of yourself and stay safe.
And I know people, you know, listening probably go, oh, that'll never happen to me. So did all of those people that this has happened to have probably said that, would never think that something like this would happen. I was taking a Rumble class with my girl Chrissy, and I was waiting for her in my car, and I noticed this guy in the back, like the back of my car, my rearview mirror. I saw him, and he was just eyeing my car and pacing it for a second, and then he moved over to the car next to me, and I was like, I ain't getting out. I'm like, not getting out. So I put my car in reverse. And he came back out behind my car to not let me go reverse. And I honked at him. And then he finally moved. And I went closer to the studio where someone could see me, physically see me get out of the car. But I was like I never would have done that. Like, you know, like in my teens, I never am that self-aware. It's just like, you just got to keep your eyes open.
Yeah. You know, and that's the thing is, like, people think this is a subject that's never going to affect them, never going to touch on them, but it happens in every community in America. Mm-hmm. You go through the Atlanta airport, be on the lookout for human trafficking. Mm-hmm. You go to small town USA and it's happening. It's happening in the, you know, in the Midwest. It's happening in the South. It's happening in the North and the East.
How do you notice, like, what are the signs to look for?
Yeah.
You know, like they, like you're saying, like, you know, keep your eyes out for it. What are we supposed to look for to identify that?
Just like Scout said, anything that doesn't look right, don't just dismiss it.
Yeah. If you see it, say it, right?
Listen to your gut.
If you see somebody with a kid that just doesn't look right and it seems out of place, say something. You know, because like I also deal with Trafficking in America Taskforce.org, and Jerome, who is the CEO of it, was trafficked from 13 till I believe 17.
Oh, God.
So it does happen and it can happen, you know, and that was another reason why I wanted to get behind this cause and raise awareness for human trafficking and do this project and get as passionate about it and get as many people passionate about it as I can. Mm-hmm. You know, so I heard you're not going to be at the 45th, which is kind of sad. It's like I am only doing in costume a few times this year. That's Here's fun. Another big thing. Trick or Treat Studios has the Halloween mask coming out from Our Halloween. Mm-hmm. And they have donated the set of three masks. I've worn them at a couple of different conventions. And at the Halloween 45, I'm doing an in-person photo op. And I'm donating a portion of the proceeds to deliverfund.org.
Yes.
To human trafficking. And I'm going to be a Teddy cosplay, who is a big cosplayer, made me jumpsuits. So the whoever, one lucky winner from the photo ops is going to take home the three masks and the jumpsuit I wore at the event. I'm doing that at the Halloween 45, and I'm doing it again at Spookala to help raise awareness and to donate funds to these very important causes to my...
And you've never done that. This is your first time doing an in-costume photo, right?
Never done it. And Trick or Treat has given me five sets of these masks. We've done two so far. We're doing two more, and then we're going to arrange to do something online to help raise the awareness. So it's big, and I will not do it again because I realized from the first time I did that, when I put that mask back on, it is very hot.
That's hilarious.
Your opportunity, people. Get your photo ops with me as Michael Myers.
You know, it's so funny because we take pictures, obviously, over the years with guys, you know, in the masks and you know, in 30 seconds, they're like taking it off, like just dripping. And I always say, imagine shooting a movie where you have to wear that while you're trying to fucking kill somebody. Like, yeah. Do you know, trying to wrangle these little bitches, do you know how hard that must be for Tyler? And it kind of puts it into perspective for them, like, just a little bit.
I like trying to chase you out of that bedroom and that whole bedroom scene with you. And then I spent two movies chasing you, Scout. Jeez.
Never caught me.
And that giant knife, exactly.
That is true.
So circling back to what we were talking about, I'm just so curious as to what, and from the research that you have done, why is it that these people aren't afraid? Like, there's fucking cameras everywhere. There's street cameras, there's gas station cameras, there's fucking cameras that you're even seeing in the airport. Like, why are these people like not afraid? Is it because they're not being found, or they're not, you know, people aren't coming after them enough? Like, why is this like such an issue and a problem still?
It's a hard thing to track down, you know, and we need to raise the awareness to help put an end to it. But, you know, most people, most criminals think that they're going to get away with it. I've never heard of a smart criminal in my life. You know, because first of all, you're doing something illegal to begin with.
Yeah.
So that's what it is. And like with the internet there, and a lot of the times they're selling the people online, and, you know, there's just, it's crazy. It's crazy the things that are happening.
What stories have you heard, Tyler, that have like success stories that have stuck with you? Have you met with any of these women?
Yeah, you know, I've talked to a lot of the law enforcement people that deal with the situations, and they say if a child or a person is gone for around 72 hours or so, it's very hard to bring them back out of it. If they're in that situation for like a month or more, their minds are so messed up, and that's another big thing too, is the after people are brought out of these situations, they need the support to get their lives back on track. Because, I mean, imagining this happening to anyone is just despicable, you know, to take someone's life and just treat it like it's nothing is nothing. Disgusting.
Yeah, that's kind of what was like interesting to me when watching the Liam Neeson Taken, you know, that essentially was what it was. He was looking for his daughter that was taken for sex trafficking. And like, I mean, by what she was in the beginning of the movie, it wasn't that many days. It was like a week. And she was a complete, like, drugged up, completely different girl when he got her back. I couldn't fucking imagine going through something like that. So
these organizations not only provide, the money goes towards spreading awareness and educating people, but also on the rehabilitation for these people after the fact.
Yeah, there are different organizations that help with different setups. Deliverfund.org is helping the law enforcement catch the people. They're developing software to help deal with these situations. Trafficking in America Task Force is helping change the laws to put these people away for a lot longer, because the punishment is, you know, the amount of money they're making off these people outweighs the punishment that they're getting, you know?
What punishment are they getting?
If you think about it, like, even like drug dealers can sell their drug one time. You can sell a person 10 times a day and make that same amount of money as selling the drugs. And then it's multiplied tenfold. So it is a very, very, very serious topic.
And what are these fuckers that are doing this, not just the pimps or the traffickers, but the people that are paying the money to come take these women or have sex with these women or use them as mules? Like, what the fuck is wrong with people? Where are they like going online, like finding where?
Yeah, I'm like, how do you find them?
Is there a whole like underground world that we don't know about?
You have the underground web, but then it is still just right out there that people are seeing it right in front of their faces and not even realizing what they're looking at a lot of the times. And that's why the awareness has to be raised, you know, especially with the internet and all the stuff that's going on and how the internet is developing and making it easier for these people to do what they're doing.
Could you imagine, like, you're a dude, you're online, Craigslist, looking for someone you could have sex with that night. And then you go to the hotel where you're meeting this person that's been responding to you online. And there's a woman that's drugged that's there. That's, I mean, obviously she's got to be fucked up. And while there's a guy in the bathroom or, you know, I can't even imagine walking in on something like that and continuing to still go ahead and go forward with it.
It takes a warped mind, you know, and it's sad, and they got to make stiffer penalties for people that partake in it and stiffer penalties for people that do the actual trafficking. And the only way that's going to happen is if the awareness is raised and we get the word out and help these organizations put an end to it.
It was interesting.
I mean, here's the thing. I say I want to put an end to it, but like I say, it's been around since the beginning of time. We just have to deal with it as best we can, you know, and if we can put an end to it, that would be great.
And who is your character in the graphic novel?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the graphic novel. Like, how does this, what's the whole story behind all of it?
Yeah, it's a story of Frank Kane, ex-motorcycle enforcer, who is the lone survivor of the last Spartans. He is saved by this family and their daughter is taken, the one that is taken. So he is asked to go break his parole, go get her back, because the authorities, and they've hired a detective, have not been able to find her. So he goes on the mission and teams up with undercover decoy, who is being trafficked or pretending to be trafficked to catch these guys. So you've got Frank Kane teaming up with this little petite girl, and they're helping take down a massive cartel.
And who's that petite girl? Is that Scout or is that me?
No, I'm just kidding. You know, when I saw your, because I've seen a little bit of it, and I'm not sure how much, if you don't want to go into detail about it, about the race and everything. But I thought about a girl, an actress for you that I think would be, I think that would be really, really great. She was in, what is that? Timothée Chalamet, Warm Bodies or something, where they were like cannibals. Do you know what I'm talking about, Danielle?
Let me look.
They were cannibals. She's this amazing actress that is like booming right now, and I absolutely love her work. Bear with us, guys, while I try to find this girl cast for Tyler.
Oh, that is great, Scout, but we got to get the awareness out there. We got to get the people signing up for this Kickstarter so that we can get to that.
So you can get to that point. Yes. No, of course. Of course.
Here's one of the flyers that we have. It's kind of, it might be hard to see, but we have great artists. Like, it's written by Christopher Priest.
Cool.
We have art by Will Conrad, Jimbo Salgado, Michael Montanat. Mark Silvestri is doing a special cover for us. Nice. We have Ken Lashley doing a cover. So these are all top tier comic book artists and writers that Renee has been able to pull in because she was at Top Cow for all those years. And actually Mark Silvestri was her very first boss in the comic book industry. And he is like the man nowadays. So we're getting all these top tier people. And we also created a flyer.
Cool.
That kind of resembles.
That resembles something a little bit there.
So this is going to be one of the covers for all of our fans.
Oh, I know that cover.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. And now how was it? How was the experience like working on this and pulling this all together? How was it?
Oh my God. This has been taking about 2.5, just about 3 years now with the writing process and dealing with all the artists. This is not your typical Kickstarter. We are fully funded. The book is just about complete. So this is just our storefront to help get the word out and get the product out to people. So, but it has been a long, you know, we've looked at several different artists, had several different communications with people to try and get them on board. And as soon as you say it's dealing with the human trafficking, a lot of them are like, hell yeah, we got to do this. So
good for those people. Honestly, that's so great. I mean,
where are you going to have these available once they're done and in print and all that? Where can people get them?
This is exclusively on a Kickstarter situation, and we have really retailer tiers through the Kickstarter where retailer stores can purchase tiers, and I will go to their store for them and do in-store signings and help raise awareness that way too.
Oh, that's awesome.
Everybody, for the individual all the way to the retailer to get into the comic book shop. So
got to get Kevin Smith on board. I bet he's got some good connections.
Yes, he's probably got one or two.
Oh man, congratulations. This is so great. This is so awesome.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and of course.
If you can push out that link to the Kickstarter, I would greatly appreciate it.
have you worked on your what you're gonna say when you marry Scout yet?
Have you got your license yet?
Oh my God, I have not.
That, like, apparently it takes like 2 days.
First thing I'm going to do is ask Tom if he's sure.
I'm sorry, what?
What?
I'm sorry, what do you mean?
That is crazy. I'm okay, kidding, well,
before we end this, Tyler, we obviously have to do our portion of our podcast. So Danielle, do you want to read a couple of emails that we got? Maybe Tyler might have some advice here.
Oh, geez. Do you have one open? I didn't pull any up yet, Scout. Hang on. Let me hop on here. Tyler's like, so damn, I so thought that I was going to get the fuck
no, you're
out
not,
of here.
Tyler. You're not, but a lot of, like I said, a lot of topics that we've been talking about have been pretty serious. We've been sharing awareness to suicide. So a lot of stories have come in sharing their story or commenting on what we were talking about.
Well, and this deals with that also, is a lot of victims that have been trafficked end up taking their own lives because of all the stuff that they've been through.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is a serious topic, and, you know, I think you guys were dealing with one of the bullying ones or something, or I, you know, I mean, it's all, it's just crazy what people do. And it's, I think it's because of the internet more.
100%.
You know, because you got, you can be.
You can hide behind the internet and, you know, at least a little bit.
You can say whatever you want and there's no real consequences until there is.
And I think kids are also learning bad behavior from the internet, looking up to these idols that, you know, our idols are not firemen, police officers, doctors anymore. They are these people that are making these content that's just like, I mean, some are amazing, but some I feel like are teaching our kids just negative behavior. And then they're forth taking and saying this is allowed, and then they're, you know, putting into school with kids that they're around. And I mean, it just breaks my heart every time I see a headline of like a 11-year-old just took her life in her school bathroom the other day.
Oh God, I didn't hear that.
Bullied again. And I'm just like, I don't understand. And the schools, like, you know, these kids are going to the schools, the principals, and telling them that this is happening. And nothing's being done, or at least not enough is being done about it.
Were you bullied in school? What was your school like, Tyler? Were you bullied at all, or did people just sort of stay away because you were taller?
No, I was a tall, skinny kid, glasses, braces, that was dyslexic. I was picked on a lot, you know, and that's who I am and why I am the way I am today, and doing the stuff that, you know, that I'm trying to do. But like going back to what you just said, Scout, you know, Renee just had a situation with one of her friends. Their 14-year-old son went out to some kind of an event and someone snuck in a bunch of vodka and they got drunk and he ended up throwing up on himself. And of course that was all over the internet, and he ended up taking their parents' car and wrapping it into a tree at 100 miles an hour. And over that, you know, it's like, it's just sad. Because people spread, you know, they're trying to make fun of people online and stuff. And it's just disgusting.
And I also, and I've said this before, I also think that a lot of these shows for our younger audience are, it's not glamorizing, but they're in a sense, like, kind of glamorizing, like, suicide. Like, it's not, like, in a negative way. And I bring this show up a lot, 13 Reasons Why. I was just, like, it was basically about this girl that, like, chose to end her life. And then she left, like, this mysterious boxes for all her friends to find. And it was, like, a puzzle that they had to figure out and put together. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, this is not what our 14. Oh my God, have you seen 13 Reasons Why? Oh my God, did you realize what they found now? The clue that they found now? It's like, but this girl also took her life. Like, are we just gonna forget that?
Was that based on anything?
I think so. Selena Gomez did it, actually. She was the producer of that. You know, and she came from Disney and stuff. So I'm like, even Sabrina the Teenage Witch was so fucking dark, and they talked about, like, I don't know. It's showing this sort of negative behavior, drugs, alcohol, whatever it is, but it's just, like, kind of, like I said, glamorized now.
Right.
And people think it's, like, sexy.
You know, it magnifies it too. Like, I mean, when we were younger also, but because of not having the internet there, it wasn't magnified as much.
And it also was scary. It was something that you didn't want to talk about. You know, you didn't think about all the time. Now I feel like it's what kids think about first. Go kill yourself. It's like, what kind of fucking thing? What? That shouldn't be the first thing that you say to a kid.
Yeah. Well, it's the humiliation. And it's not just in front of a few people or your friends. It's spread across to the whole school, spread across the whole, you know, internet. Mm-hmm. And it's a crazy thing that people need to get a hold of.
I mean, my 6-year-old Carter and I were in bed the other night, and just randomly, he just said, D-E-A-D. That's dead, right? And I said, yes. And then he was like, heaven. How do you spell heaven? This is at like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. You know, I stopped him from watching YouTube. He watches other people play games on YouTube sometimes, Minecraft and all that shit. And I definitely hear like weird random things going on. And Scout and I talked about this in our last, a few episodes ago about, you know, how you teach your kids about things. Like there's no handbook on how to talk to your kids about sex, how to talk to your kids about religion, how to talk to your kids about, and with the world moving so fast, it's very difficult to navigate through that. I mean, I unfortunately have told my kid that we all live to 100. One day he's going to find out that that probably is a big fat lie. But for right now, I'm just trying to deal with my...
Do you also tell him Santa Claus is real? And the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy? Yes. Yeah, he'll forgive you.
Yes, he will. I mean, well, and you know, what's funny is that he had to, it's not funny, but he said, okay, so I'll see you then when I get to heaven. And I said, of course you will. And he's like, okay. And daddy will already be there. But Jagger's okay. So how much younger is Jagger than me? I said a year and a half. He's like, okay. So I won't have to be there in heaven too long without him.
Oh my God.
And I was like,
no.
But I think that you're like what you were saying earlier is that parents are too busy with their own shit, that they're not focusing on what their kids are getting into or what they're doing and how, and their curiosity and how that peaks and what we need to open up conversations about. We've been talking a lot about sex lately. You know, one of our conversations looks, Tyler's like, oh God, here, it's coming. The sex question's coming. Oh God. Oh God. I'm sweating. I'm sweating.
Get the dog in because it's scratching at the back door.
So. Who did you ever have the conversation about sex with your kids? Or did Renee take, like who took what role?
Yeah. What did that look like?
You know, that was so long ago. I'm like,
you know it.
Did you ever have that?
Did you ever have that conversation?
Like, how do you have that conversation? I mean, it's good to like parents out there probably are like, how do I have this conversation?
And when? How early does it start? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know. I, you know, it was Renee and myself. You just figure it out. You know, when the time is right, when you see that they're in that kind of situation, you're like, okay, we gotta discuss something here before something happens, you know?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of parents out there that are trying to be like Mr. Cool or Mrs. Cool. And I feel like there's, I don't know. I think the more that you speak with your kids about these sort of topics, I think the more that they're prepared to make the right decision.
Yeah,
I think.
You know, I mean, even at the young age of mine's got to be five, the other one's six, or, you know, six, just having the conversation about being aware of your surroundings too, you know, when you're, because I see a lot of parents let their fucking kids run off in department stores or grocery stores or whatever. Yeah. It's like Target, you know, 2 seconds, the kids like, we're going to, I'm going to go look for my toy, mommy. Like, where do they think the predators are hiding? Like, of course they're right around those areas. You turn around how many times have we heard that? I turned around for 2 seconds and he was gone. 2 seconds and she was gone. Like, that's all it takes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a subject. You got to be aware. You got to be aware of what is going on. And especially if you're a parent, you have to be aware of what going on with you, but then also what your kids are doing and thinking and trying to get them on track and on the same page as you. It's not easy. It's not an easy thing.
And also I feel like kids are growing up a lot faster. I'm like dealing with like 12-year-olds that are looking like they're 17 and doing things that I didn't do until I was 17 years old. I'm like, how is this okay? How is this okay? I don't understand. I don't understand how this is okay. I swear, I'm going to move to an island where they're not going to have any internet. They're not going to have any cars. They're going to have any phones.
That's about the only way nowadays to do it.
Right?
Pretty much.
It's crazy. It's crazy. So what's Renee's back to your thing that you're doing? Yeah. What is Renee's like? Is this something you guys are doing together? I mean, I know, but the audience, like, that's his wife.
Yes, wife, yes, yes. Daddy. Without Renee, this would not be happening because, like I said, he was the editor in chief of Top Cow Comic Books, Radical Comic Books, Darby Pop, bunch of other comic book shop publishing companies. And she is the one that knows how to put this all together. So this is, I say, hey, I got a great idea. She goes, oh, not another one. Has to figure out how to put it all together. But she is the brainchild of all of this, which is fantastic. She's pulled in the artists, the writer, the colorists, the letterers, everybody to make this a top tier product. And I'm so proud of her. And it's amazing.
Well, we're proud of you. We love you in this spooky season. We're so happy to have you on our show again. And we won't fry you with too many sexual questions. We're gonna keep it just about your graphic novel. So just one more time for everybody. What's the Kickstarter information?
Last Spartan Red Tape on Kickstarter. It's a graphic novel written by Christopher Priest, art by Will Conrad, Michael Montanat, Jimbo Salgado. Mark Silvestri is doing an amazing cover for us, who is a top artist. Ken Lashley is doing a cover. Seth Adams, Sia Ohm, all top tier artists. And it's dealing with the subject of human trafficking. So please, I would appreciate your support. We've got great tiers that you can pick up. We've got a coffee and comics tier, which deliverfund.org has their coffee that they put out. So we are teaming up with DeliverFund so you can get a cup of coffee in the morning and read the graphic novel about it. And if the graphic novel is not for you, have the coffee, drink the coffee, give the graphic novel away for Christmas.
Reuse.
A lot of great Christmas present ideas.
Oh, nice. I love it.
So yeah, check it out. There's going to be t-shirts, all kinds of stuff. So matter of fact, here's one of the t-shirts.
Do we get the graphic novel and a t-shirt?
Well, of course you guys
do. Yay. Exciting.
Can't wait.
But you guys are going to really want this t-shirt, right?
That's Of course we do.
You're so funny. I love it. Thank you, Tyler, so much for coming on.
Thank you, guys. And Kickstarter is launching October 17th. So please follow along. I appreciate it. And thank you for taking it easy on me, ladies.
Yeah,
always.
Happy Tuesdays, everybody.
Happy Tuesdays. Bye, guys.
Bye.